You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
It's really a really important podcast to talk about what it means to be walking in the Spirit, even during rough times.
Yeah, we have a lot that we can share about this. But first, we just wanted to share with y'all a portion of Scripture. It's going to be from Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
So we're going to actually just kind of talk about what it means to live a Spirit-filled life, because a Spirit-filled life is something that typically, whenever you're looking at church and things that you do in church, is different than whenever you're actually living your life. So we're not going to talk about church life per se. We're going to talk about your everyday life living for the Lord. And when we try to live for the Lord in our flesh, it's really a miserable way to live, to be completely honest. You're going to try your best to do these good things for God, but you're doing it in your flesh, and you end up...
Legalism.
It ends up being legalism, but it's also, it's going to drain you of everything you got.
Or hypocrisy.
And you end up having these two faces. You end up, you know, putting a mask on in front of people, and then you end up taking that mask off behind the scenes, and that's who you really are. We don't want to do that. We don't want to live our life that way. So what we want to do is live our life out in the Spirit, and that's really a struggle, and it should be a struggle. When you hear this in Galatians, when Paul is talking about this, if we're not struggling from the Spirit and flesh, because that's what it is. It's a struggle. If we want to be completely consumed in the Spirit, but our flesh ends up getting in the way. When I say flesh, I mean our natural instincts of our old man. And so we want to put the old man down. We want to take that old man and go bury him in the backyard so that we don't have to deal with him. But for whatever reason, it's like The Walking Dead. He ends up crawling back out and wanting to creep back up. And we have to have our full armor on. That's Ephesians 6. We put on the full armor of God. I was talking to Angela yesterday, and I was telling her about, you know, I went through a full year, well, almost a year of, it was basically similar to a discipleship program, but it was through Pure Life Ministries. And I'm going to give a plug out. We're going to put that in the comment, put that at the bottom of the description. And I'd like to give them a plug, because they've been a very big part of my Christian walk, was Pure Life Ministries. And one of the things that the man who discipled me in it, or my sponsor, which however you want to say it, he would tell me that you never take off your armor. When you go home, you leave your armor on. When you take a shower, you leave your armor on. When you go to bed, you leave your armor on. You never hang your armor up, ever. Because as soon as you hang your armor up, that's when Satan is going to start throwing those fiery darts at you. And I found myself at the beginning of this, close to the beginning of the week, me without my armor. And I ended up having fiery darts thrown at me, and I really wavered in my faith at the beginning of the week. Me and Angela had some stuff going on that we struggled in, or I believed I struggled more than she did. Her faith was as strong as it ever is. Mine wavered some. So I told her, I said, let's do a podcast over Walking in the Spirit, because this is what you need. Whenever things happen, that is when you need the Spirit to react for you. Because if I react, I'm going to react, you know, out of my natural instincts. My old man will creep back up. So one of the things that I learned in my time, because I actually discipled men in Pure Life as also. I did that for, man, actually in the park we're in right now, I would meet several men out here and disciple them for years. And that's one of the biggest things that we need to understand, that when we're walking in the Spirit of God, we need human accountability as well. Because human accountability will help us in walking with the Spirit. That's why James, I quoted this the other day, James tells us that we must confess our sins. And when we confess our sins to one another, we will be healed. And walking in the Spirit takes...
Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another.
And pray,
so that's
yes.
A big part of it too, is just having that support system in your life. As believers, we need that. We need both accountability and, you know, uplifting, encouragement, and support from brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and you know, whenever you are more outside of the Spirit and you're trying to do it yourself, you're going to find yourself falling into sin that you thought you nailed to the cross, and that old sin will creep back up. But see, what happens is that we hung up our armor for that day, or for that week, or for whatever time is, because we're not truly. It's a battle. One of the other things that the man told me that discipled me, he was an ex-army, he was an ex-military, so was I. But one of the things that he was he jumped out of planes and did all kind of crazy stuff. One of the things he told me is that if you're not, he goes, if you hold up the white flag to your sin, to those passions, then you've been defeated. So we don't hold up a white flag to our enemy. You know, we want to continue to fight. We want to continue to move forward. Even if you think they have captured you, we got to be like a POW. You know, we need to make sure that we are only giving what they, if they're asking you a question, you give them your name and your number. But the thing is, and military people will know what I'm talking about when I say that, the thing is that we don't give up our white flag to them. We give our white flag to Jesus. We surrender to Him and to the Spirit. So, and we need people in our life to help us with that. And this, and that's why I think, you know, it's so important that we, you know, we stay in prayer. We stay in prayer. We, you know, prayer, we can read our Bibles, but we also need to have, that is communication from God to us, is His Word. And God also communicates different ways, but the main way of communication is His Word of God to us. Our main communication to God is prayer.
And it's our lifeline.
It is a lifeline. Angela has developed a prayer life in these last few years. It's amazing. And she is definitely a prayer warrior. And to give you an example of the prayers that we've been seeing happen, I have a friend that has had heart problems, but we actually prayed for his son. Was it a year ago, 2 years ago? I can't remember. It's been about a year, okay. And he was having some health problems. We prayed, And Angela prayed for him every morning. I prayed for him, but she was consistent. She was in a consistent mode of prayer all the time in the morning and pray. And he ended up getting healed. The doctor said it was a miracle. Well, today, my friend, his dad,
the same man,
he's having heart problems. And I went over to his house the other day and prayed with him, and we prayed for recovery. And then this morning, on his way to, they said that he might need a heart transplant. Well, he was going to have another meeting with his doctors today, and he said he was driving over there. But he said since I've prayed with him, he's actually been feeling better. So that was like, I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. I said, so let's pray again for your complete healing. And so me and Angela prayed with him, and he calls me back this afternoon and tells me that the doctor literally said, you know, we didn't see this coming because we really thought you were going to have a heart transplant, but we're seeing that your heart, that you are, this is an actual miracle, is what the doctor said.
Praise God.
And it's awesome to see God work like that.
Why are we always surprised, though?
I know.
Like, when we pray, we need to go into our prayer time expecting that God is going to answer our prayers, because He is a wonder-working God. He still performs miracles every single day. And to Him be all the glory. I mean, we need to go into our prayers expecting that He is faithful. He hears us. We're not just, you know, talking to the ceiling. I mean, we're going to put these prayers out there, and we're going to expect to receive according to His will. So, you know, that's one thing is that I've learned over this past year in developing a much stronger prayer walk than I had previously, is that we come into our prayer time expecting God to work, expecting Him to be the God that we know that He is. He is a good, good Father. He takes better care of us than the birds and the flowers of the field, you know. He knows every hair on our head. He knows us intimately. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to depend on Him. And us going to Him constantly in our prayers, it shows that we are dependent on Him. It shows that we're not trying to be independent of Him and trying to say, you know, I've got this, God. Or I'm just going to come to You when things don't work out. You know, it's not a last resort kind of thing. It should be our first response to go to Him in prayer with everything, because we love Him and He is a good Father.
So, you know, when we have that prayer time and we're expecting Him to answer these prayers, a lot of times in our faith, one of the sad thing about typical, I guess, American Christianity is that we don't really live out what we go and experience at church typically, and we have to do that. We're living in the last days, and we're going to really need to believe what God says in His Word, and that's kind of been our walk here. We've been growing more in our walk with believing what God says and not question it at all. And at the beginning of this, or at probably, you know, beginning of the week or whatever, when all the stuff that kind of happened with us, my faith, I questioned some things, and Angela was faithful to pray for me. She was faithful to pray for me. We have another sister in Christ that was praying for me. And it didn't take very long for me to be broken and repent, but of my doubt, you know, that's what my sin was doubting, and I was hurt. So these things were, you know, it showed me that I need to really fixate on my spiritual man. Yeah. I need to fixate to build my spiritual man up, mm-hmm. and in prayer and in studying of the Word, and you know, so.
Well, and actually, real quick, if you don't mind me cutting in real quick, we had actually just had the discussion the night before. We had a very good time of prayer together and just talking about things that we wanted to focus on and some things that we wanted to change in our walk in order to build up ourselves in our faith. You know, the book of Jude, a lot of our messages that we have done here recently have been talking about this very subject, because – you know, we do believe that we are in the end days, and we know that hard times are coming on the earth, and that the most important thing is going to be the state of our spiritual condition. You know, we have to be ready to stand firm and endure to the end no matter what. And so we had just had a talk the night before. I think it was Monday night, because I think all the stuff that he's talking about happened on Tuesday. So, you know, really that was a time of, it was darts being fired at us from the enemy, but it also could have been a test from God, you know, that, okay, let's see if y'all are really going to do what you say that you are, you know, are you really going to focus on me? Are you really going to come to me? And, we have talked several times recently as well about the refiner's fire. And this is an area where, you know, any believer knows that you are in that fire, from time to time. Usually it's not usually a continual thing, but it's usually, you know, a process. You'll go through one thing and you'll, you know, God will strengthen you in a certain area, cut some stuff off in your life. You'll keep moving forward. And then before you know it, something else comes. It actually goes along with what I just, you know, the last part of that portion of scripture about the fruits of the Spirit. And that's a way that God works those things in our life, is by allowing us to go through things that test those things in us, mm-hmm. to produce those good fruits, cut off the bad to make room for the good.
And you have to, walking in the Spirit of God is the only way that we can really do this. Just think about it. In the Old Testament, when they had to move God around, they had to move him in the Ark of the Covenant. They had to have people carry the Ark of the Covenant around to place, because that the Ark of the Covenant is what represented of where God was at with Israel at that time frame. We are that Ark of the Covenant now. So we have to understand that we have to treat our bodies as the house or the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. So I'm just going to read some verses again that she just read, and just kind of touch base on it. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. We have to really understand that the sinful nature craves. What does the sinful nature crave? Anything that the Holy Spirit doesn't crave.
It says the two are constantly, yes, battling against each other.
It says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. That's very important to understand, that the law of Moses is a mirror. The law of Moses should be a mirror to show you your evil, whatever you see in the mirror of the law is what the law of Moses shows you. It shows you that we are a sinner. It shows you that we are in need of a Savior. But the Spirit is something completely different. We're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of grace. But that is also not for us to abuse grace. And the Spirit helps that. The Spirit should convict us. Grace empowers us to live a holy lifestyle.
And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to put off those sinful desires. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That power lives inside of us, brothers and sisters in Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power available to each and every one of us, that we can crucify those evil desires and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the fruits of the Spirit. live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and that shows that we are worthy of our calling in Him.
Amen. And we need to remember, Satan wants us to be secluded by ourselves.
Absolutely.
Satan, you know, where does sin grow the biggest and the most dangerous place? It's in the dark. That's where sin grows, and that's where Satan wants you to be at. He wants you to be in the dark. And so when we have the full armor of God on, what is the helmet? What is the helmet? It
protects our mind.
It protects our mind,
which is where the battlefield is.
Yes. And so we need to have the full armor, which is the helmet. And that is every piece of the armor represents something. And we need to make sure that every piece of the armor is on. We can't just have the helmet on. We got to have the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have the shoes of peace. We need to have the belt of, what is the belt? I forgot. Dang it. Belt of truth. We need to have the
sword of the spirit.
Sword of the spirit and the shield of faith. So we need to make sure that everything that we have on, we don't need to have any of those taken off. We need to make sure we're fully dressed for battle. And right now, we're a pilgrim in a foreign land. This is not our home. This is a battlefield that we're constantly on. We don't ever get a chance to sit back and not be in the battlefield.
Right. Because Satan knows where our weak places are. And that's where he is going to fire those darts. So for us, you know, particularly, he fired a dart at us in an area that he has fired at us many times before. And it showed our vulnerability. It showed that we had some things even that maybe we haven't nailed to the cross fully yet. Some old hurts and wounds that were reopened and, you know, allowed for us to start questioning,
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I didn't struggle with it this time. I have plenty of times in the past, but it was only by God's grace that this time he wasn't able to strike me there. I just reminded myself and I reminded Will of God's goodness and his character, and that's what we have to stand on. And we can't let the enemy tell us those same old lies and continue to believe them, you know. And he knows where our weak spots are. Like I said, he's looking for those things. He is a roaring lion, always, you know, prowling around looking for someone to devour. And he hits us when we least expect it. I mean, we literally had such an uplifting night, or uplifting time together the night before, and then boom, the next morning. I mean, and he does this a lot. It's like whenever you're at a high point, I mean, he can bring you to your knees really quickly. But what we have to do is stay on our knees and call out to the Lord. And we give all of these cares and burdens and worries over to him, and we talk to our own heart. We remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and that he is there for us. And if people hurt us or people do things that take advantage of us, or, you know, I don't know, just I'll leave it at that. If people hurt us, we have to remember that God is good and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He doesn't abandon us. He calls us his own. He invites us in even closer. So that is where we find our refuge and our protection and our complete satisfaction, hope, joy, all things, comfort. It's all found in him. So I told Will that, you know, part of our problem is that we're always wanting to give out to others. We're constantly looking on how we can do outreach, how can we minister to the lost and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit told me that it's a time for us to focus inward, not out. We need to be going in to our quiet place with the Lord. We need to be going deeper with him than ever before. We need to focus on ourselves and being filled by him. It's only once we're full of him that we can even have what we need to be able to give out to others. But I feel like in this season, we need to really just focus in on the Lord and our walk, and you know, just allowing Him to work in our life and show us what comes next for us.
Yeah, and that's something I struggle with. I struggle with letting myself do that. I feel like I'm constantly needing to give out, and that's something that I probably will struggle with for a little while to regroup to see what comes next. So, but this whole talk on the flesh versus the spirit, we must stay focused on the Spirit of God. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to, you know, we need to walk in the Spirit. And that is something that
cultivated.
It has to be a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It has to be a lifestyle. And it has to be, you have to be willing and able to do it. And you're working at it. You're going to grow in your prayer life. You can't just, if you don't pray, you're not going to grow in your prayer life. Right. And a lot of people just don't pray. They might pray a small prayer here and there, but we've got to learn to pray.
God says, "You will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." So that's what I encourage all of us to do, you know, is to truly get before Him and start seeking Him with everything that you've got. Don't just give Him your little bits and pieces, your leftovers. You know, give Him all of you. Surrender to Him. Allow Him to be your all in all.
Yeah, we've got to be intentional about our prayer life. We have to make it priority. Because there's a lot of stuff that we make priority in our life, especially here in the West. And if you're not making God your priority, if you're not making prayer your priority, spending time
worship.
In the Word, you know, prayer, worship. Worship doesn't have to be in a big group of people. Mm-hmm. Worship can be, me and Angela worship together all the time. You should, you know, this is the thing. What you do in your private time is who you really are. If we're watching Netflix in our private time, if we're watching things, whatever you're pouring into your mind and your soul, that's what's going to be coming out of you majority of the time.
Yeah.
So what you put in is what comes out. So if in your private time, if you're not spending that time with the Lord, and if this is something that might convict you right now, that's a good thing. Listen to the conviction. We're not trying to judge anyone on this. We're just telling you our experiences and where we see growth in our own private life is what you do with your private time matters. We can easily get in front of people and show people that we can, you know, pray or whatever it is, but that doesn't mean nothing. It's when we are in our private time when you can make those choices to watch something that really doesn't glorify God versus watching something that could, or spending time in the Word of God, or, you know, we need to be building ourselves up through prayer. You know, we need to be, you know, praying, you know, in the Spirit. We need to be praying with one another. We need to be have intercession for people. You know, I remember hearing this. I don't remember where I heard it from, but whenever you find yourself in a mature state, it's usually whenever you're praying for others more than yourself.
Yes, I can attest to that. That's
whenever you are praying for yourself constantly and you're not praying for others, you will eventually graduate to a more mature state when you are not thinking of you any longer. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking of others, and you're praying for others. That's an intercession. When you're interceding for others, but there is a time for your prayer for you. You know, that's prayer and worship time. You're praying for God to move you, and you're praying for God to
change you,
and have a work in your life that can be seen to point back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So. But
real quick on that subject, we always want to leave the invitation out there that if you do need prayer, if you're listening to this and you need prayer over anything, please reach out to us.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.